Hi, welcome to the Fantastic Forecast, episode 428. I'm Dave Elliott. And I had a nightmare the other night that I had to read a crossover that continued across four double-sized issues of Heroes Reborn comics. And I woke up screaming. Well, thank God it was only a dream. Today, the 428th issue of the Fantastic Four. It's Fantastic Four, Volume 2, Number 12, from October 1997. Doomsday. Plot by Jim Lee. Script by Brendan Choi. And art by Brett Booth and Ron Lim. So here we are, the beginning of a four-part crossover with the other Heroes Reborn books called Heroes Reunited. And they're all double-sized issues. Oh, no. And the story begins in New York City on the roof of the Latverian embassy. Dr. Doom gets out of a ship that just landed. He's been following the news stories about the other heralds of Galactus coming to New York, and he wonders if they're as powerful as the Silver Surfer. Whenever anyone with a lot of power comes to Earth, Doom gets a boner. He wants to suck the power out of Terox the same way I want to suck the... Okay, I'm not going to finish that sentence. Dr. Doom has a siphon suit, and he's ready to go. He also gets word that his chrono-displacement device has arrived in New York and is being assembled. So Dr. Doom is very happy. Everything is in place for him to get a nice big warm load of cosmic power. Meanwhile, in Central Park, the Fantastic Four find themselves facing off with a trio of Galactus' heralds, Fire Lord, Terox, and Plasma. Where's Airwalker? I bet he's feeling left out. Ben and Johnny are eager to attack the heralds, but Reed knows they'll get their asses kicked, so he holds them back, and he asks the heralds what they want. Terox says they're a threat to his master and they must be destroyed. Well, now it's clobbering time. At least, that's what Ben is hoping for. But it's he and Johnny that get clobbered. Reed and Sue join the fight, but none of them are a match for Terox. And I assume Fire Lord and Plasma are just watching. Tasma is about to chop Sue in half with a big axe when help arrives from the Silver Surfer, who grabs Terox by the arm. The Surfer says he's come to help his friends. He wants to repay the FF for saving him back at Dr. Doom's castle 4 or 5 issues earlier. He explains this to the other heralds, but Terox doesn't care. He doesn't give a shit. He's got a big axe and he wants to use it. But the big boss arrives and calls his four heralds, and they come running like obedient dogs. Nearby, a shield ship lands, and out comes Dum Dum Dugan and the Countess, who tells the FF that Nick Fury would like to meet with them. Soon, they're being flown up to the shield helicarrier, where they find Nick Fury along with Iron Man and Captain America. And now that Rob Liefeld has been kicked off Cap, he's got the familiar A back on his forehead. And all is right with the world. Nick tells the FF they need to save the world. They've detected a massive energy signature out near the moon, and they have no idea what it is. They finally get a visual on it, and for the first time, they see Galactus' big round ship, and it's heading right toward Earth. And inside the ship, Galactus tells his heralds that it's time for him to harvest the planet Earth and to make the necessary preparations, and all four of them reply, "By your command." Like, who do they think they are, Cylons? But then, the Surfer speaks up and asks Galactus to spare the world. Galactus pretty much tells him to shut up, he's hungry. The Surfer's like, "Oh, okay, I hear, and I obey." Back on the helicarrier, Reed says that he's analyzed all the data he has about the Silver Surfer, the Mole Man, the Super Skrull, and the Inhumans, and he has concluded that they're all tied together with the Great Devourer, Galactus. Most of these have been explained already, but Mole Man? How was he related to Galactus? Did he babysit him as a kid? Galactus's ship opens up, and this big contraption comes out and breaks off into four pieces. Reed theorizes that one piece is heading toward Manhattan. Well, that's a no-brainer. Of course it's heading toward Manhattan. Everything goes to Manhattan. My one biggest pet peeve about the Marvel Comics is that everything seems to happen in Manhattan. Another piece is going to Munster Island. A third piece is going to Attilan. And the fourth piece, well, Reed doesn't seem to have a theory about that. Maybe the apartment of the Molecule Man in Denver. Okay, maybe not. So all the Avengers are there with the FF, and they're going to split up into three groups. Cap, Iron Man, Scarlet Witch, Wasp, and Ant-Man are going to Munster Island, and the FF and the rest of the Avengers are going to Manhattan. And Johnny, all by himself, is going to Attilan to warn the Inhumans. Reed tells Nick Fury he's been working on an energy nullifier, and he needs to see a computer and get some hardware to complete it. Next, before he gets to work, Reed has a question for Sue. He asks her to marry him. What? That came out of left field. How romantic. He's already gotten her pregnant. Now he's going to make an honest woman out of her. After all, you don't want Captain America and Hawkeye to be calling Sue a slut after all, do you? So Sue says, yes, and they kiss. Ben tells them to quit messing around. They gotta go. Down in Attilan, Johnny has arrived to warn the Inhumans. But Fire Lord has also arrived. And you would think, since the Inhumans worship Galactus like a god, maybe they would be spared. But for some reason, the Inhumans are considered a threat, and they're getting targeted first. One big piece of machinery lands, and this is a thing I never understood. Why put these four machines in areas populated by people with superpowers? People who can possibly cause problems. I mean, let's say back in issue 48, 49, 50, Galactus had set up shop in Antarctica. There wouldn't have been anyone around to give him shit. So the pieces of the machinery land near Attilan, and Fire Lord tells his boss that the capacitor is working. And then, the Inhumans and Human Torch show up to give Fire Lord some serious shit. Fire Lord tells him that Galactus has come, resistance is futile, and the Inhumans stop dead in their tracks. The Great Devourer has come! They're God! The end times are here! Now Johnny seems to be the only one willing to put up a fight. And then, a nearby mountain starts to fall apart, and Medusa asks Black Bolt what they plan to do. So they decide to fight back. Meanwhile, over on Monster Island, Captain America shows up with the Scarlet Witch, Wasp, Ant-Man, Iron Man, the Submariner, and Thor. I guess Thor and Namor decided to come along too. And they find Plasma there, and she's overseeing the other capacitor. The Avengers, of course, start to attack her, and then Mole Man shows up, saying that he doesn't like trespassers, and damn it, he wants everyone to get off his lawn! And then Hawkeye, a very creepy version of Hawkeye with a black mask over his face, shoots an arrow in Mole Man's back. Scarlet Witch uses a spell to knock a bunch of Mole Man's people around, and Thor tries to smite Plasma with a bolt of lightning. Back in Attilan, Black Bolt speaks. He's going to smite the Biospirit Capacitor with a blast of his bad breath. But with the Biospirit Capacitor destroyed, all that stored up energy is released, and it starts heading toward the Inhumans. Crystal tells Johnny he should fly away, but Johnny says, "No way, Crystal. I'm staying here with you until the end. Even if we die, at least now the rest of the world will have a chance." Oh, hell no. He's only known her for a few days, and now he wants to die with her? That's disgusting. And why doesn't he pick her up and fly away with her? What a horrible moment. Back on Monster Island, they're not having much luck with the Biospirit Capacitor there either. So Namor just picks up the entire thing and carries it into the water. Cap wastes no time in calling up Nick Fury and telling them that the capacitor has been destroyed, along with Namor, even though we don't see an explosion. What a ripoff. Later, back in New York, Sue, Ben, Black Panther, they're on top of a building with Thor and Hawkeye. Wait, weren't they supposed to be on Monster Island? I guess that's why they added a caption that says, later, instead of meanwhile. Somebody made a mistake. I guess that's the result of having two different pencilers drawing this comic. The editor dropped the ball and forgot to make it clear to Ron Lim and Britt Booth which characters are in what locations. So Galactus is there, getting ready to eat the planet. Shield jets are shooting at him. Terrox is fighting these planes off with glee. And the Silver Surfer's just flying around doing nothing. The Helicarrier shoots at Galactus, but the Big G has his own force field. He fires back at the Helicarrier, and the vessel's damaged. And guess what is seriously damaged on the Helicarrier? That's right. The reactor core is damaged. They only have a few minutes before the core melts down, and they all die. That is the fourth time a reactor core meltdown has been featured in these FF Heroes Reborn stories. Jim Lee must be obsessed with core meltdowns. I can't believe it. It's hilarious. Nick Fury goes to grab Reed Richards and his energy nullifier, sticks him in an escape pod, and ejects him off the ill-fated helicarrier. Next, Nick Fury tells his other folks to evacuate as well, saying, "This old dog may have one last trick up his sleeve." Nick's girlfriend, the Countess, decides to stay with Nick. I don't know why. Because he rams the damn helicarrier right against Galactus' ship. but it really does no good. Galactus gets up out of his ship, and he's still alive, and he's still hungry. The Big G raises his hands, and all this metal and stuff comes flying off the nearby buildings, and he reconstructs his damaged ship, and Sue realizes that the sacrifice of Nick Fury was all in vain. Later, Reed is having a meeting with Ben, Sue, Black Panther, Thor, and Hawkeye. Reed says those capacitors help convert the planet into energy so Galactus can eat it, so they need to destroy all the capacitors. Reed gives Ben a backpack with the energy nullifier strapped to it. They got word that the capacitor in Attilan and Monster Islands were destroyed, and the Submariner is dead, and the Human Torch, he might be dead too. So yeah, this is a bad day for Sue Storm. She says she'll mourn for her brother after Galactus is defeated. With that, Terox rips to the wall, and he and Ben start trading punches. Hawkeye notices that the Silver Surfer is putting down the last capacitor. It sure is taking the Silver Surfer a long time to make up his mind about whether or not he's going to save the Earth or help Galactus eat it. Reed tells Hawkeye they have to find a way to disable the capacitor. The city is being attacked by aliens. A big guy in a purple suit is about to eat the planet, and he's a guy with a bow and arrow. Nothing makes sense. He tries to shoot the device with an explosive arrow, but not a scratch. Thor comes along, however, and shatters it with his hammer. Over with the thing, he's got that backpack on, and he runs over and he grabs Galactus by the foot. But the nullifier isn't powerful enough to neutralize the power inside Galactus, so Thor decides to help. And then something else happens. It's not too clear, but there's a bright flash of light. Ben says there's too much feedback. They get knocked out. Ben reverts to being a human again, which is bad timing, because Terex comes along, and he grins because Ben is helpless. Black Panther pops over to help out. But really, he's just a dude in a cool suit. He doesn't even have a bow and arrow. Terox surrounds him with rock and crushes him, and he crushes Ben. Sue screams out, "Ben! T'Challa! Terox! He killed them!" Next, Reed notices that Galactus' converter is activated. Terox comes along and tells them they missed one of the capacitors. There's a fourth capacitor, even though they saw four capacitors leave the Big G ship earlier, and the fourth capacitor was sent to Antarctica. There you go! That's what I'm talking about! When I made that comment earlier about Antarctica, I didn't remember that's what Galactus actually does in this issue. And the fourth capacitor is being set up by another herald of Galactus, Airwalker! I was wondering if they had forgotten about him, but here he is. Next, Terox is about to kill Reed and Sue, when smack, the Silver Surfer finally decides to help out by shooting Terox in the back. So the Surfer says he's going to destroy the converter so Galactus can't eat the planet. But in a case of very bad timing, Dr. Doom finally shows up with that energy sucker suit on, and he's got a boner for the Silver Surfer's power. He siphons the energy out of the Silver Surfer, he looks at Galactus, and decides to challenge him, but the Big G swats him aside like a fly. Reed goes over, and he digs Dr. Doom out of some rubble, and tells him they need to combine the energies from the siphon suit with the energy nullifier to defeat Galactus. But Doom says that might work, but he doesn't want to share his glory with Reed. So much for that idea. Galactus activates the elemental converter. Dr. Doom disappears, thanks to the chrono displacement machine in his suit, travels back in time, and the planet blows up as Galactus eats everything. Yum, 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 yum. The end. The Earth is dead. The Earth is gone. Okay, I wish it was the end. That's one hell of a cliffhanger. It's like the end of the first season of Sledgehammer. But it says, to be continued, in Avengers 12. I wonder how they're going to get out of this mess. Let's find out what happens next. The Fantastic Forecast, Episode 428, Part 2. Today, Avengers 12, Volume 2, Shadows End, by writer Walt Simonson. How did they rope him into this mess? And pencilers Michael Ryan and Anthony Wynn. Okay, I just looked this over. And we're not going to find out what happened next in Avengers Volume 2, Number 12, because the issue begins before the events of Fantastic Four Volume 2, Number 12, and ends with the destruction of, which ends in the destruction of Earth. But this starts with Thor saying goodbye to his dead brother, Thor. Okay, I don't know what the deal with that is. It's been a long time since I've read the entire Avengers Heroes Reborn issues, and I don't plan to do that. And all the rest of the Avengers are on the helicarrier with Nick Fury when they get a call that Galactus is coming to Earth. Nick Fury is like, "What the blazes is Galactus?" And then Dr. Doom shows up to tell them who Galactus is. I thought he was busy working on his energy-sucking suit and his time machine. So nice of him to find time out of his busy schedule to deliver some important exposition for anyone who hasn't read FF12. So he explains he's already seen the world destroyed, because this is the Dr. Doom that traveled back in time from the end of FF number 12. So we've got like a Groundhog Day situation, where Dr. Doom is going to keep traveling back in time until he saves the Earth. Doom tells the Avengers they need to kill the Heralds when they arrive and destroy the capacitors. But for some reason, he doesn't mention that capacitor in Antarctica. Doom teleports away to the Latverian embassy, where he hopes that this time Galactus can be defeated, because afterwards, the world will be his for the taking. And this time, as Nick Fury explains, the four capacitors are being sent to the Antarctic, Moscow, Hong Kong, and Los Angeles. Now, why does Galactus change the location of his capacitors in this new alternate past? Nothing has happened yet that would change the past. It makes no sense as to why Galactus is now acting differently. So in this story, the FF are heading to Moscow, and the Hulk is heading to the South Pole. Where was the Hulk in FF number 12, by the way? Hank Pym, the Ant-Man, he goes back to his lab and reactivates the Vision. In Moscow, the Silver Surfer is there with the number one capacitor, and the FF must fight him, much to the Silver Surfer's dismay. Dr. Doom is watching on a monitor, and he decides to shoot nuclear missiles at Moscow. And after several pages of fighting, the Surfer stops and says he just realized he's fighting the wrong foe. The FF don't care. Reed zaps him with the energy nullifier, and Ben clobbers him. And Johnny blasts a capacitor, destroying it. Reed and Sue hug, relieved that they've destroyed the capacitor, but then Dr. Doom's nukes arrive, and they're all dead. Bye-bye, Moscow. The Silver Surfer emerges from the carnage, and Doom is kind of pissed off that he didn't get killed too. At the South Pole, the Hulk is joined by the Vision and the Scarlet Witch to look for the next capacitor. And over in Los Angeles, the S.H.I.E.L.D. helicarrier finds the other capacitor, but they also find Plasma, who damages the helicarrier. And once again, they all evacuate. Nick Fury, along with the Countess, sacrifices himself by steering the helicarrier into the capacitor, destroying it. Back at the South Pole, Fire Lord shows up. I guess he doesn't mind the cold so much. And he sees the Hulk in the Vision, and he says that the destruction of the world that spawned such freaks will be a blessing for the cosmic balance. Look who's talking, you freak. What a freak. Well, he ends up getting the crap beat out of him by the Hulk in the Vision, and Scarlet Witch is there too, and the Vision uses Fire Lord's flaming staff to destroy the other capacitor. Vision and the Scarlet Witch look over, and the Hulk has been injured in the fight, and he reverts back to being Bruce Banner, and he's just about to die. And in Hong Kong, Hawkeye thinks he can fight Terox with a bow and arrow. Yeah, right, but he can't. Terox zaps him, obliterating him. The rest of the Avengers fight Terox, and in the battle, the Wasp is killed too, but the capacitor is destroyed. And back at the Latverian embassy, deep underground, under New York City, Dr. Doom is happy to see the FF killed, and the Avengers badly depleted. S.H.I.E.L.D. is dismantled, and now Dr. Doom launches nuclear missiles from Russia, hoping to blow up New York. But they blow up early, right there in Russia, much to Dr. Doom's dismay. And back in New York, the remaining Avengers show up to face Galactus. But out pops Airwalker, who tells the Avengers that the capacitors are reforming, and thus Galactus can now eat the planet. Yum, 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 yum. But with little time left, the Avengers have one more chance to do something. Dr. Doom is watching, and he's like, "Oh no, what's the point? I'm getting out of here." On Avengers Island, they head back to the damaged power core, and they start putting all the energy into it. The Silver Surfer joins in, and the reactor core explodes, destroying the island, destroying the Earth, destroying the entire solar system. And shit, that's the end of the issue. And the end of Heroes Reborn. Okay, I wish it was, but it's not. Next, we'll have to find out what happens in... It's Fantastic Forecast, episode 428, part 3. Today, Iron Man, volume 2, number 12, Matters of the Heart, plot by Jeff Loeb and Jim Lee, script by Jeff Loeb, and pencils by Ed Bennis, Terry Schumacher, and Mike Miller. Okay, the issue starts back in time, again. Oh, this is getting tedious. Let's try this again, from the top. Tony Stark says to the Fantastic Four, She-Hulk, He-Hulk, and Doc Samson. Tony and the FF are at the Baxter Building, talking about how the other three have been infected with gamma radiation, but it didn't kill them, it only made them stronger. Isn't that some kind of saying? That gamma radiation that doesn't kill you only makes you strong? I don't know. So, and of course, the FF were exposed to cosmic radiation and got powers from it too, which is odd. She-Hulk asks Ben to join her and get a root beer float sometime, and calls him handsome. Ben wonders if she's flirting with him. Hulk thinks the same thing, and he yells at Ben to get away from his cousin. Ben gets agitated and tells the Hulk that no one tells him what to do, except Reed and Sue, I guess. And then Hulk says that he can tell Ben what to do whenever he wants, because he's the Hulk, the strongest one there is. And he punches Ben in the face. So they start fighting with each other, and Reed, he's not paying attention. An alarm goes off, and there's some kind of atmospheric breach. Let me guess, somewhere a core is about to overheat and explode. Sue steps in and uses two force field bubbles to break up the Hulk Thing fight. Reed and Tony look on the monitor and see the Heralds of Galactus, Terox, Fire Lord, and Plasma flying toward Earth. Once again, these trips back in time make no sense. Everything is always different whenever they start over. I don't understand why. Things are always different at the beginning of FF 12, Avengers 12, Iron Man 12. In Groundhog Day and Edge of Tomorrow, when Bill Murray and Tom Cruise go back in time, things are always the same until they make changes. But here, Dr. Doom has been going back in time, but things are already different every time he goes back in time. He hasn't even done anything yet. Next, they look and see Galactus' big round ship out behind the Heralds, and Tony realizes that this is some serious shit. Reed tells everyone that the FF are going out and making first contact. Tony says to the Hulk, She-Hulk, and Doc Samson that since he created the Gamma Bomb, he will help cure them of their conditions. Isn't that a terrible idea, that Tony created the Gamma Bomb? I think it's a lot more interesting the old way, that Bruce Banner was the creator of the Gamma Bomb. She-Hulk and Doc seem okay with how they are, but when Tony says that he'll help find Bruce in that big green body, Hulk replies, Hulk is not lost. Hulk is here. Tony's beeper goes off. All this freaking crazy technology everywhere, and Tony has a beeper. He heads over to Ziff Memorial Hospital to visit Happy Hogan in the hospital, and Pepper Potts is right there at his bedside. Pepper, by the way, looking a lot more like Gwyneth Paltrow than she ever has before. This is like 10 years even before the movie. The wall crumbles apart, and Dr. Doom appears and tells Tony, Stark, you're coming with me. Tony tries to grab his special briefcase, but Dr. Doom beats him to the punch and nabs it, and surrounds Tony in some kind of energy bubble and carries him out to his nearby airship. Back at the Baxter Building, Betty Ross shows up, Bruce Banner's girlfriend, and the radiation hasn't been too kind to her. She's got a bald head, apparently from cancer. Hulk turns to Bruce, turns back into Bruce, and he kisses her. Back on Dr. Doom's ship, Doom hands Tony the briefcase and tells him to get dressed. Tony puts on his Iron Man armor, and then Tony insults Dr. Doom by calling him a tin-plated despot. Dr. Doom, he remembers what happened a year earlier in the old Marvel Universe. He remembers the real Marvel Universe and the nonsense with Onslaught. Oh boy, I wish I didn't remember that. Iron Man forcibly carried Dr. Doom into the Onslaught universe, and Dr. Doom asked Tony, why bring a tin-plated despot along on your journey? Well, gee, because Jim Lee wanted to use Dr. Doom. Duh. Of course, Tony doesn't remember all that stuff, and he's not sure what Doom is talking about. He ends up yelling at Dr. Doom, saying that he doesn't believe anything he has to say. He doesn't even trust the dude. Of course, when you give yourself a name like Dr. Doom, getting people to trust you is going to be a huge problem. A hologram of White Nick Fury appears and tells Iron Man that he has to trust him and Dr. Doom, and the ship lands on the S.H.I.E.L.D. helicarrier. So Nick Fury leads him to a room where the rest of the Avengers are waiting. Nick tells them the bad news, that the Fantastic Four were killed in the line of duty. Oh shit, not again. This time they were killed by the Heralds of Galactus. The Thing was killed by Terrox, the Human Torch was beaten by Fire Lord, Reed was fried by Plasma, and Sue, poor Sue, was killed by Airwalker. How embarrassing for her. So now, the Avengers are ready to kick some ass, and most of them head off to fight the Heralds, while Tony, Bruce, Hank Pym, and Dr. Doom stay behind to work on what appears to be some kind of electronic set they got from Radio Shack. I'm sure that's not going to be very helpful in dealing with Galactus. The Avengers fight with the Heralds, it goes on for several pages, and then Galactus lands back in New York on the roof of the Baxter Building. Of all the roofs in New York, why does he feel the need to use the roof of the Baxter Building? You would think his eyes would be drawn to the old World Trade Center Twin Towers, but nope. He'd rather sit on the smaller, less impressive Baxter Building. Meanwhile, the geniuses have been able to turn that Radio Shack electronics set into an ultimate nullifier, and with it, the Hulk and Iron Man rush off to face Galactus. And on a very odd page, there's a quote from Robert Louis Stevenson, right there in the middle of the story, which says, "The world has no room for cowards. We must be ready to toil, to suffer, to die. And yours is not less notable, because no drum beats before you when you go out into your daily battlefields, and no crowds shout about your coming when you return from your daily victory or defeat." And speaking of defeat, Galactus blasts the shit out of the Hulk and Iron Man. I wonder why they just didn't threaten to use the ultimate nullifier first, the way Reed did back in FF50. See if Galactus calls their bluff. But nope, they just rush headlong into battle with it. Idiots. So the world is about to be destroyed, again, and once again, Dr. Doom disappears back into the past, one more time. And that brings us to Fantastic Forecast episode 428, part 4. Today it's Captain America, volume 2, number 12. Or volume 3. Does the series from the 1940s count as volume 1? I don't know. Let It Be, written by Jeff Loeb, art by Joe Bennett and Ed Bennis. Okay, so at this point, Rob Liefeld has been kicked off the Captain America book. But unfortunately, Jeff Loeb is still around. Jeff Loeb, the writer of classic movies such as Teen Wolf and Teen Wolf 2. This guy owes his career to a series of movies where we learn that being a werewolf makes you good at sports. The only contest Marvel's Werewolf at Night ever won was a dog show. He was in the Jack Russell division. So on to this issue, and it begins again, this time in Philadelphia, with a woman named Ricky Barnes. She's a young red-headed girl. I wonder if Johnny's going to want to bang her. She seems to be an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Bucky Barnes' granddaughter. Either Bucky didn't die in this world, or he got busy making babies at a very early age. Dr. Doom shows up, he grabs her, scares the shit out of her, and she tries to fight back. He says the world has 24 hours to survive, and he's seen it die 3 times. He grabs her by the hair and calls her a chronal anomaly. Ouch! That's hitting below the belt. You know, the other kids in school used to pick on me by calling me a chronal anomaly. Ugh, kids can be so cruel. Just then, in flies Captain America's shield. What the hell is he doing in Philadelphia? It clangs up against Dr. Doom's head, and Cap appears, telling Doom to step away from the girl. So Doom lets her go, just because, as he says, he doesn't want to prolong this conversation. He tells Cap that the fate of the universe hangs in the balance, and they have to work together. He says that the Fantastic Four are in Central Park, fighting the four Heralds of Galactus, and if they don't act swiftly, they're all going to die, and the world will slip closer to oblivion. So later, back in Central Park, the rest of the Avengers show up to join the battle with the Heralds. The Vision even mentions that he's experiencing an odd phenomena known as deja vu. Dr. Doom has also arrived, telling Reed that he's come to save the Fantastic Four's asses. Reed asks him what the hell he's up to now, and they get snippy with each other, and Captain America butts in and tells them to chill out. Out in space, we see Galactus, who's surprised that his heralds have been defeated by the heroes of Earth. He tells his last herald, the Silver Surfer, to head down and get the planet ready for him to eat. The Silver Surfer asks the Big G to spare Earth for one more day, and Galactus tells him no, he's hungry. So the Surfer heads back down to the planet's surface. Back at Avengers Mansion, all the smartest dudes are gathered around a table. Reed, Tony Stark, Hank Pym, Bruce Banner, Dr. Doom, Captain America's there too. Doom tells them about how he has seen the world blown up 3 times, and he's traveled back in time each time. But now, his chronometer was damaged, and he can't risk jumping back in time again. Plus, he's run out of Heroes Reborn books to jump into, thank God. Bruce comes up with some crazy plan about giving Galactus all the energy he needs, and everyone is like, what? Back in another room, Ricky Barnes is dressed up like Bucky and pacing around the room, wondering what it means to be a chronal anomaly. That means that in the regular Marvel Universe, she doesn't exist. And for that, we can be grateful. Unless they bring her back in Secret Wars 3, she sees something in the sky, and she's like, yikes! It's the Silver Surfer! And he tells Nikki that Galactus is coming, and people better get the hell off the planet right away. And then he turns and flies away. Why did he tell Nikki Barnes that? Well, anyway, Nikki grabs the back of his surfboard, and he starts flying away with her, hanging on. Captain America sees this, he yells out for her, he jumps on a jet cycle, and he chases after them. Galactus, it isn't like seeing anyone grabbing onto Silver Surfer's surfboard, so he shoots her with his eye beams, and she falls off, lands in some water. The Surfer sees this, and he's like, oh no, what have I done? Back at Avengers Mansion, Reed and the gang have come up with the ultimate nullifier, and when Captain America arrives carrying the severely injured Nikki Barnes, She-Hulk and Sue Richards take her off his hands. The Avengers pledge to do whatever they can to defeat Galactus, and the Silver Surfer shows up at the door, saying that he wants to help save humankind. So they strap that ultimate nullifier on his ass and give him Cap's shield and tell him to go get Galactus himself. Dr. Doom is looking at his chronometer and thinking that maybe he should risk traveling back in time again. So the Surfer zips over to the Baxter Building, where Galactus is setting up his equipment. Whatever happened to those capacitor things that were so important in the other 3 issues? There's no sign of them at all in this issue. The Surfer attacks Galactus, shooting out cosmic energy at him. Galactus fires back, hitting Cap's shield. And in the end, just like Dr. Banner suggested, the Surfer gives Galactus what he wants. More energy. He gets too much energy. Too much! Galactus cries out, as there's a big explosion and some kind of vortex, and the Big G and the Silver Surfer are killed. Cap's shield falls to the ground, and he says, rest well, Surfer. Our world will long remember your sacrifice. Which, considering that the Heroes Reborn universe will only be around for 1 more month, so the world will not remember his sacrifice for very long at all. Reed offers to shake Dr. Doom's hand, thanking him for his help, and offering his friendship. Doom declines, saying, where Doom goes now, he goes alone. Of course, since this Doom traveled here from an alternate future, doesn't that mean there's still another Dr. Doom out there in the world? A few days later, Cap learns that Ricky Barnes is fine when he runs into Bucky Barnes and his wife, Peggy Carter Barnes, in a cemetery, who are both very old, by the way. Cap doesn't seem to know who they are. The story ends with the Watcher telling us that this has been one of many tales of heroes reborn. Many tales? Ugh, don't threaten us like that, Watcher. So that's it for today. Finally. Whew. This is by far the worst of the Heroes Reborn stories so far. And so long! Each of these issues was double-sized! Oh, just way too drawn out, long, repetitive, terrible. Man. This issue 12 of the Fantastic Four, by the way, was the final one by Jim Lee and Brandon Choi. Next issue is a fill-in. I guess Marvel wanted to tie up some loose ends and set up Heroes Return with one final crossover between all the books. Let's hope it's better than this story. Hell, it can't be any worse. So, coming next time, the final issue of the Fantastic Four. Talk about deja vu. What happens when the Wildcats show up? Yes, the Wildcats, who are now DC Comics characters, but here they are in the Marvel Universe. Also, is it too late to use Annihilus? Nope, he shows up. Also, Stormwatch shows up. Too bad for Ben, I think this is before Apollo and Midnight were on the team. That could have been interesting. We find out how Heroes Reborn comes to an end, and whatever happened to Matthew Storm? So that's it for today. If you have any questions about the Fantastic Four, about this podcast, or if you need relationship advice, you can email me at podcastff@gmail.com. You can download other episodes of iTunes or at www.podcastff.podbean.com. So long, kids. This podcast is over, finally. On the last day of the world, on the last day of history, I'm gonna live like I always wanted, I'm gonna live like I really was free. And when it finally happens, when they say it on TV, you can bet your life that I'll be the first one dancing in the street. You'll have your scientist, expert, nuclear physicist saying that he can't explain. Maybe it's a media nuclear bomb, you're so much you find a black acid rain. Then he'll tell you it's the last day of your life and you must not leave your home.